and administration and try to find win-win solutions. That might be a good example. But most of all, I think it's the life experiences that comes from having a career in the business world.
What do you think is the one thing you can do in Congress to help create jobs in Iowa?
I think the main thing that is holding businesses back from hiring people are the job-killing regulations coming out of Washington. And the biggest culprit is Obamacare. And you probably hear a lot of people talking about it. But it's probably the easiest target because it's kind of an example of the federal government trying to do too much and spending too much and taxing too much and also mandating too much, forcing people to do things they don't really want to do. So what it's doing is all these businesses, I've heard that they're sitting on up to $2 trillion of cash that businesses have, but they're sitting on the sideline because they can't see to the future to see if the future is going to be better or worse. So they're just sitting on the sidelines and everybody is stagnant. And the big kind of fog or cloud that's keeping them from seeing that, you know, brighter, clearer future, you know, is Obamacare. They just don't know how much Obamacare is going to cost. They're not even sure which Obamacare is going to be enforced. So it's that uncertainty that's keeping them on the sideline. So I think the best thing that Congress can do is to remove Obamacare and then replace it with some good marketplace solutions that will help with the health care problem. But it'll also then give some certainty to the businesses so they will look to the future and say, yeah, I think the future is brighter. I'm going to start hiring and start to expand my business. And then it starts a snowball effect as the next business sees, oh, hey, people are starting to get hired now. There's going to be more demand for my product. I better hire more and gear up. And it just starts the snowball to get the economy rolling and helps everybody from the person looking for a job to the person who wants a better job. And to the person who likes their job, but their wages have been stagnant for the last 8 years, they see that they'll finally start to see those wages rise as we get the economy rolling. If you take out the pieces of Obamacare that people really don't like, which includes some of the mandating and the kind of government control, well, then the whole plan falls apart. So I believe you do need to repeal the whole thing, should be the first goal, and then replace it with some things like allowing people to buy insurance across state lines, by doing some pooling of smaller businesses so they can act as a bigger pool and help their pricing, and then also encouraging health savings accounts that we do at Cramer Associates, which allows people to pay for their deductible and their medical expenses out of pre-tax dollars. And then that gets people kind of focusing more on what do things cost in the medical world, and that'll help bring down prices as well.
A March Iowa poll shows 65% of those who were polled support an increase in the minimum wage. Would you support a minimum wage increase?
Well, see, there's an example of where the a lack of understanding, I think, on the administration's part of how to help people who are on minimum wage. If the government comes in and just mandates it, well, what that means is that businesses who don't have the luxury of raising their prices, you've just priced people out. And so some people are going to lose jobs. And in fact, there's been nonpartisan studies that show how many jobs would be lost if the government just comes in and mandates a new minimum wage. What I'm talking about is to try to get the economy going again. And as I think back to the mid-90s, when Bill Clinton actually joined with Republicans and balanced the budget, and they did welfare reform, and they also cut some taxes, and the economy took off, and even at McDonald's they were paying at that time, in the mid-90s, 20 years ago, I saw they were paying 10 bucks an hour. And that's because when the economy's rolling, then there's more demand for labor, and then so the price goes up. But when the government tries to artificially do it, it just means that people lose jobs and businesses go out of business.
The proposed changes to the renewable fuel standards seem to signal that the administration may move away from grain-based alternatives to conventional fuels. What would you do in Washington to work in a bipartisan manner on energy policy that would benefit Iowans and still have national appeal?
I believe we have a great opportunity in the world of energy, and I would support, you know, any of the forms of energy that can be efficient and safe. You know, one area where we're finding out that we have all kinds of resources or oil and natural gas. And so I think the government can help by speeding up the process to allow that oil and natural gas to get to the market, which will help drive down the gasoline prices, which will help every Iowan and really help this economy. On the renewable fuels, I think it was the right move to get away from subsidizing, and I think we need to get all of these energy sources, you know, kind of weaned off the government and free of subsidies. That's the long-term goal. But I do support keeping the renewable fuel standard mandate for now to make sure that ethanol has a way of getting to the marketplace and that the oil industry can't just squeeze it out. So I think we found a good balance for now, and then the long-term plan is to get everybody free from government help.
Okay, and to clarify, that balance would be the one proposed by the EPA or the one that we had before?
The one we've had before, yeah, not this latest one, but as it is now where they've removed the subsidy, but they have kept the mandate, that's the one I would support.
Okay. You're campaigning to join Congress at a time when its approval ratings are at some of the lowest in history, hovering in the low to mid-teens in most cases. How do you think we got to this point?
Yeah, I believe there's definitely a lack of trust, and we need to put that back into government. And when I tell people I'd like to raise the trust factor in Congress, you know, usually the answer I get is, well, good luck. And my answer is, well, you know, we're about as low as you can get, so I don't know if, you know, I don't know if we can get any worse. Here's what I think needs to happen. I think, one, you need to have congressmen who and women who have principles, and they clearly say what those principles are, and they stick by them and don't waffle on principles, but they negotiate on how to, you know, implement policy. And so the second piece is to be persuasive, and both with their peers in Congress and also with the public, you know, to help change hearts and minds. I believe we as conservatives have the right answers for this economy that helps everybody, and we just have to articulate that so everybody understands where we're coming from. And then third, you got to be productive. We have a Congress that hasn't gotten anything done, and so we need to, at the end of the day, still get something done. And so I think if you can have principles, be persuasive, and be productive, then we can start to raise that trust level back into Congress, and their approval rating will follow.
In what areas do you imagine compromising with the other party to get something accomplished for Iowa?
When it comes to balancing the budget, I think we have to start with that premise that we all agree that you can't spend more money than what comes in. I have to balance my budget here at Cramer Associates. Every one of us has to balance our budget at home, so Washington needs to do that too. So then where you compromise is, how do we get to that balanced budget? And I'm proposing we do it in 5 years. Well, if the other side came to me and said, it has to be 7. Okay, well, let's negotiate that. We can, you know, that's all negotiable. Or, you know, do we trim this, agency by 10% or by 12? Let's negotiate that. We can work through that. So if you can start with the principle of you can't spend more than you bring in, then how we get there can be negotiated, and we can work through that.
Nearly every candidate running for office says they want to cut government waste and bring down the deficit. Can you name a program or department that you would cut and why?
Yeah, I think what happens is the government is so big that nobody has control of it, and the spending is just out of control. I compare it to, you know, a construction project. If you were doing a little home remodeling and you're going to spend $1,500, well, you'd be watching, you know, every dollar that went out the door. Well, here at Cramer Associates, we might do a job that's $50,000, or the biggest job I was ever a part of was $90 million. Well, as the bigger the project gets, it's just physically impossible to have the time to track every dollar. So now you're maybe only tracking, you know, kind of looking at the big numbers, every $100,000 or something. Well, now take that to the government, where now they're spending trillions, and it's just too big to control. So it needs to be limited, and then have a limited government, so will actually result in unlimited opportunity for us here in Iowa. One program I would take a look at, I served on the school board in Johnston, you know, for the 9 years, and what I realized is if you want to have a really good education system for kids, then you ought to get the federal government out of the way. So I think we could drastically reduce or eliminate the federal education department and just focus on doing the best we can here in Iowa.
Okay. In your opinion, are we spending enough on national defense?
Yeah, we've got to have the best and most powerful armed forces in the world, mainly so we don't have to use them. So it's peace through strength. And so I'm not exactly sure what the right number is. But we've got to have. I'm sure there's always ways to improve and to, you know, to streamline. But we definitely have to have the funding that's appropriate so that we can, you know, be the world's most powerful force, and then we can use that force for good.
Immigration reform is an issue important to Iowa, but it's stalled in Congress. What immigration reforms would you support?
Yeah, in our company, we have about a third of our employees are Hispanic, and we use E-Verify, which is a system on the internet where every applicant or every person that we hire, we check their paperwork on E-Verify so that we know that everyone working here has legal documentation. And to be fair to them, we think that should be consistent across the country. I think it'd be good for all businesses to be required to use E-Verify so employers know. Then I think the first step is just enforcing the laws we have. We, you know, secure the borders and the ports and everything just for national security purposes. We have to know, you know, who's coming into our country. And then not move to amnesty or trying to get citizenship for people that are here. But once we've secured the border and we have, and we've also got the businesses, you know, focusing on hiring people with the proper documentation, then we can have a discussion about all the people who are still here, if we can come up with some way of them paying a back fine for breaking the law, and then still have a way of getting some sort of a work permit so they can be working here. And if they want to become a citizen, then they can get in the line with everybody else and work towards citizenship.
According to figures from NASA, 97% of climate scientists agree that climate warming trends over the past century are very likely due to human activities, and most of the leading scientific organizations worldwide have issued public statements endorsing this position. What's your opinion?
You know, I'm very skeptical of the 97%. You know, because even after that statistic came out, I've heard of several different organizations and different ones coming out saying, no, we're not part of that. And it's unfortunate that it appears that even we're having a hard time trusting our scientific community as we find out that there's just such a dogma for climate change that people who don't espouse that are almost being bullied into silence. And whenever I hear the president say, okay, the consensus is done, the science is settled, you know, we don't need to debate this any longer, okay, my red flags go up all over the place saying, oh, wait a second, I thought that's what science was you know, kind of going against consensus and actually pursuing the truth, you know, not necessarily consensus in science. So call me a skeptic, and I think it's very, I haven't heard yet of anything that sounds like a plausible explanation of what we could do to change human behavior that would have an actual impact. Instead, all I keep hearing is how they want to change policies and change taxes and take more of our money to try to, you know, get to one of those ends. So I would be very skeptical, and I'd like to see some more science in that regard. Everybody's in favor of clean air and an efficient economy. So I like to find win-win solutions, and I don't see what I'm hearing now for expanded emission control is really just going to hurt the American economy and kill American jobs and have no impact on the worldwide atmosphere.
And you touched on this earlier, but we just wanted to make sure that we got your thoughts on the Affordable Care Act. The U.S. House has held dozens of votes to either repeal, defund, or otherwise dismantle the Affordable Care Act. President Obama will not sign legislation doing so, but the law remains unpopular. What are your ideas for revising the Affordable Care Act?
So I do think it needs to be repealed, and I think if the Republicans can take control of the Senate this fall, the president will have a harder time hiding behind Harry Reid and the Democrat Senate. And maybe he won't. Maybe he'll just heel in and still won't move along with the will of the people. But I think the will of the people is to replace this Obamacare with some real market solutions that can help bring down the cost of insurance and make it affordable for more people without the government taking over the whole sector of the economy and, you know, forcing people to cover things they don't want to cover and forcing people to buy things they don't want to buy. let's keep it a market-based solution.
Okay. So those were the 10 questions for the online guide. Is there anything else that you'd like to add or expand on at this point?
I would just say that our message of being both the business guy and the conservative that will fight for our values has been received very well. We seem to be really building some momentum as we go towards the last heading towards the last week of the campaign and the primary. And I think my message is that I've done that. A lot of the candidates are talking about how can we create jobs, what should we do, and I'd say, well, I've created jobs. I've balanced a budget. And I think some people say, well, do you have the courage to stand when there's a lot of political pressure trying to push you one way or the other? And I think when it comes to standing firm on our principles, you know, they saw when I went through a Board of Regents confirmation process last year that even though the other side was being unreasonable and telling them a litmus test for me serving, even though they thought I was qualified, I was able to stand up to them in a winsome way that was respectful and yet didn't back down for just political reasons. So I think they've found that guy in me, and I can go to Washington and be the bridge builder